Well, I am buzzing today. I am absolutely thrilled. As you know, this podcast is going from strength to strength, and we get people from all walks of life. To get this man off a crane, to get this man off a ladder, to get this man off a high building is really quite difficult because he's prolific with his work. Wherever you go on Merseyside, you see his work everywhere. I am delighted to say that Paul Curtis is me.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me in. It's great to be here.
I'm absolutely chuffed. How tall are you, by the way?
I'm 6'3", so it is useful in my job, but yeah, can't reach the top of every building.
I want to talk about street art. I want to talk about graffiti. I want to talk about Banksy, but I want to talk about your work. Let's start, before I ask you how it all got and happened, how it got together, what was the exhibition like in the Liver buildings that you've just had? Because I couldn't believe how much work you've done. And explain how that worked.
Yeah, it was great. So the exhibition ran for a couple of weeks, but it ended up getting extended a third week. I didn't know how it would go because this was my first exhibition. To actually do it in the Liver building was amazing because, you know, the Liver building's a flagship for Liverpool, really.
And, let me stop you there, because what we're talking about, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is indoor art. So I don't think he was painting on the outside of the Liver building. It was replicas of all his work, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so it was basically, most of my work is street art or murals, but I started to think that there's no way, although they're all open to the public, or most of them are, it's hard for you to view all of them at once. So that was kind of when I started thinking about doing an exhibition. So it was basically a set of prints of, it was about 40 works that I've done, but I was also painting live there as well. So I didn't know how it would go, but as it turns out, there was quite a demand for it. I think we had about 7,500 visitors over the 3 weeks. Yeah, it took a while to get there. I worked with a lady called Laura McCann who helped me curate it and did a lot of work getting it over the line. So it was a bit of a trial because it was my first one. There's never been a street art exhibition in Liverpool, so we didn't know what the demand would be.
Now, tell me, how did it work? Did you photograph your work and then put it out as prints, or how did it work?
Yeah, well, it kind of evolved more than more than it was a split decision, because people were asking me for prints of my work when I'd do different murals. So I started gradually getting together a collection of prints, not with the intention of doing an exhibition, but it got to the point where I was like, do you know what? I've got so many of these, I could actually do an exhibition. Because I'd always thought, as a street artist, it's not something that's done. You don't have street art exhibitions until I've seen it in other cities. And then I started thinking, well, why has Liverpool never done one? And I thought, well, I'm in the industry, so rather than just sit there questioning why Liverpool hasn't done it, maybe I'm the type of person that should be pushing for it to happen. So, yeah. So once I started getting the prints together, that sort of gave me a vision of how it might work. So, yeah, that's how it evolved. But it was important for me to be there every day and to be painting on site a large scale mural, which I did for the Liver building,
which was amazing. I'm talking to Paul Curtis. He is the man with the wings, which we'll talk about later. Who is Paul Curtis? Who are you? Where did you come from? Tell us your background.
So I was born in Liverpool, brought up in the Woolton area, and originally as a career, I worked in the oil and gas industry. I actually studied geology at University of Liverpool. Then I went to Aberdeen to work, because that's where the oil is. Stayed in Aberdeen for about 12 years. Got a bit sick of the dark winters, so I moved to London. And I was in London for 4 years, but then I was made redundant. Didn't know what to do, really. And then I travelled for a bit, because that was cheaper than staying in London. And then hoping to get back into the oil industry, it didn't happen. I moved back to Liverpool, and I just didn't really know what to do.
So, there's the picture you painted for us there. Where was art in your life when you were working in the gas and oil industry?
It was never really there. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so a lot of people ask me, did you go to art college and things like that? I didn't. I did GCSE art. That was the highest level I went to. I got an A, so I did okay. And basically back then when I was at school, art wasn't seen as something that was like a viable career option, sadly. I think it's changed now. I think when I go into schools, they take it a lot more serious because there's a lot more creative jobs now. But back then it was like, if you had a bit of a brain on you, it was kind of like pushed you towards science, law, you know, the traditional sort of things. So funnily enough, my art teacher came to the exhibition from years back.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was lovely to see him again. But he wanted me to carry on and do it, but basically everyone else around me was saying...
So art was not in your life?
I enjoyed it, but I had a sort of like passing interest in it. That's what I would call it. I'd do the odd sketch at home, but maybe one every couple of years just to sort of pass a bit of time, if, you know, over Christmas if I had time to myself. And then, so I knew I was okay at it, but I never realised I was good at it. And, well, that's still questionable, depending on who the viewer is. But
but that's what art's about.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like art, people like art. So when you discovered about art, how did you discover it, and did you just start painting?
So what happened was, so like I say, I was made redundant. I travelled for a year, come back to Liverpool, and I just didn't have a clue what to do. So I was still applying for jobs in my old career. I started applying for other work, but what I did was so niche that I was just getting refusal after refusal, even for sort of like low-skill jobs. So I was really struggling, and I had a lot of time on my hands. My sister was expecting a baby, and she said, well, you know, if you're doing nothing, can you paint the back bedroom? That's how it happened, yeah.
I love it.
So because I did have time on my hands, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to, rather than just give it a lick of paint... That we knew it was going to
make it into a nursery.
So a girl, we knew it was a girl on the way. So I did like a Bambi with her mother, and then I got a bit carried away. Did trees, did all the different characters, the rabbits, the little birds, and things like that. So it just grew, and then at the end of it, I had no ambition to be an artist. I took a few photos and shared it on my personal Facebook. And it was just other people, friends, and I started saying, like, this is really good. You could do something with that.
Let me stop you there. I've got to ask, is it still there?
Nope, they painted over it.
What? What?
I know, I had a go with them at the time. What? Well, because there's been another baby since, a little boy. They want me to go back and paint it, but I'm like, well...
No.
Yeah.
To your sister, if you're listening, no, you had your chance.
You had the first one. You had the first one.
That would be worth... hysterical, but it would be worth a lot of money to sell the house with that in it.
Well, it's gone now.
So when did you discover... Did you have an interest in street art before you started painting?
Well, like I say, it was the same as other art, with passing interest. So I wasn't obsessed with art, but I'd go to the odd gallery if it was something that interested me. So I did the mural, and then where'd you start from that? It's all very well. People say, I know you've got a skill for it, but people don't phone you straight away. So it was a long journey, so I started like doing cold selling, basically going into bars, taking photos, and going back the next week and saying, this would look good in your bar. But
so that's where you started?
That's what I did to begin with, and that didn't really work. And I noticed that street art was happening in other cities. We had a couple of pieces in Liverpool, but we had no local artist who was doing it. And that's where the seeds sort of started to grow, where I was like, okay, this cold calling business isn't working. It's, you know, it's not efficient. Yeah. So I was like, maybe if I do a piece of street art, it can be a sort of almost like a live portfolio. I can refer to it. People will know that's what I've done and might be more inclined to listen to me.
I've got to ask you, so we're building up now the picture of where you get to, but then you look at street art. I mean, the lizard that you've done out at Southport Way, Ainsdale, right. It's ginormous. Didn't that scare you before you actually did it? You're thinking, hang on, I'm going to paint a piece of street art, but it's not a piece of canvas. It's a wall.
Yeah. So it's like, that's actually the biggest painting that ever been painted in the UK.
No.
Yeah.
The lizard.
Yeah. So, which I didn't realise till afterwards. When you start off in any job like this, you have to have that sort of can-do attitude. So when they asked to meet with me, the council, went down, had a look at the building, and I was like, so which wall do you want doing? And he went, well, the whole lot. And I was like, okay. Why? He said, can you do it? And you just say yes, because you're like, I can't let this slip. So you say yes and then work it out.
Do you work with other people on something that big, or you did that all yourself?
I explored working with someone else, but in the end, it was like, no, do you know what? It's just going to be easier so for me to do it alone. So I ended up buying in like an industrial sprayer and stuff to sort of speed up the pace. It was essential. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The first morning I arrived physically to start the job, because obviously there's a lot of work that goes on in terms of design and getting things signed off and that. But the first morning I stood there and looked at the building and I was like, where do I start here?
I've got to ask, do you need planning permission for street art?
It's not, for most of it, no. So basically you need permission from the owner. Now, I'm not a lawyer here, so if any lawyers are listening and want to correct me, then that's fine. But as I understand it from my experience, you need permission from the owner. There are some exceptions. So if it's a conservation area, even that's a grey area. It's, the thing is, I think a lot of the laws were written before street art was popular. Yeah. So I wouldn't say it's a free-for-all. And you can't do things like advertising.
So there are some laws in place, but it's a bit of a minefield.
Not a minefield. I think it's more grey area, but I think most councils quietly support it, if not vocally supporting it, because they know it's developed its own little tourist industry.
Paul, what was your first ever piece outside on a wall?
It was the wings, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. So, ladies and gentlemen, near the Baltic Triangle, or in the Baltic Triangle, there is the wings, which is going to be one of the most filmed, photographed things in... one of the most in north of England, but certainly in Liverpool. And now Paul is telling me in this interview that was the first piece. That's unbelievable, because it is so popular.
Yeah, so well, it took me by surprise, that's for sure.
And where did the idea come from?
So, as I was saying about, you know, I needed something to refer to so that when I was talking to bars or whatever, looking for work, I could say, you know, that piece, that's mine. So that was how the idea started. But I didn't know what to paint. And to begin with, I was sort of toying with the idea of just doing a random portrait. Not anyone famous, just a good portrait to kind of show off your skills. And that was the first idea. And then it took a while before I actually got to painting the wall. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, do you know what? What might be better is it's going to pick up more traction if people can be part of the photo. So then I was thinking of that idea. And then the wings idea came into my head, and to begin with, they were just going to be like white wings. But I did a little bit of research, and I was like, that's been done in like Los Angeles, City of Angels. So I was like, okay, I need to make it different. And I live in the city centre, and I do a lot of jogging, and I was running by the Pierhead, and I saw, like, I was looking at the Liver building, just staring at it, sort of like in a trance. And I was like, and all of a sudden, I was like, okay. That's what I should do, because the Liver Bird wings, you know, that copper oxide green. I said, if I do that, that makes it, it's not just a pair of wings. It's specifically, it relates to Liverpool.
Yeah, it's our wings.
Exactly that.
When did it start taking off? And when did you start realising that you've actually created an amazing piece of art?
So I did that, and I remember towards the end of it, when I was finishing, there was like a modelling shoot going on, and they asked if they could take a photo.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like a young model girl, I don't know, I can't remember her name, but she's the first person who ever got a photo taken there. They weren't quite finished. And I was like, okay, there might be something in this. And then I finished it, I think it was a Saturday night. I went to bed, I woke up the next morning, and I was like on Instagram, and all of a sudden there was like loads of people, even by like midday, taking the photo with these wings. And I was like, okay, this is weird. And then it just went crazy. It's like the more it spread, I wasn't really ready for it. I was a bit naive on the social media front. So I was trying to build a social media following, but I wish I'd been more prepared.
Yeah, but you never knew. Never knew in a million years what was going to happen.
Well, I thought it'll be popular, but it was way more popular than I thought. And it's a weird sensation, because you think you'd be overjoyed, but a little bit of fear creeps in, because you're like, okay, it's too much too soon. I'm going to get criticised, because I still considered myself, well, I was amateur at that point. That I turned professional after that. But up until that point, I was like, you know what social, well, you know what social media is like. There's always someone willing to put a knife in. So I was like, okay, that's going to start happening soon. But it didn't really. And I think people took it for what it is. It's just a nice experience for a couple of minutes with your friends, get a photo taken.
And it's now on the tourist trail, which is that important. Tell me something, have you touched it up at all, or is that the original?
It has had a couple of incidents where, you know, graffiti's gone on it and stuff, so I have patched it. It is something I'm thinking about doing, like a refresh of it, because I was there a few weeks back and I was like, okay, with the patches and, you know, it's weathered a little bit, maybe I'll go back and fix it up. So yeah, might do.
I was going to ask you later on, but I'll ask you now because you've just opened that door. Now, I've spoken to other artists who have had problems with this graffiti and people messing about. Is it the bane of your lives as street artists?
Not nearly as much as people would think. Right. So what I always say is, if your house is on a street in town, say, and you paint the side of it white, you're asking for it, because that's a big blank canvas, and that's what taggers, more graffiti, people who are going to just do, you know, what you would think of as graffiti, scruffy stuff, that's what they're looking for. When there's a piece of street art on, it does happen. Like, only this week I was fixing the one in Tranmere, the away days one, which is the trainers on the side of the stadium. So it does happen, but it's rare, because whatever they write doesn't show up as well as it would on a plain wall. So I would say, like, I'm getting towards 250 murals now, of which half of them are on the street.
Is there any paint that can be protected?
It can, but it's, as I always say, it's easier just to get me back and fix it. Right. So out of, like, say, 120 odd street murals, I think I've had to repair about 3 or 4. Mm. So if you put that's it in that context,
that's interesting. Now, you mentioned the graffiti. Graffiti is an art form, isn't it? But I don't understand it.
Well, yeah, I get a lot of students doing projects on this. So technically, all graffiti is it's illegal. It's got nothing to do with the quality.
Oh.
Yeah, whereas street art is, you have permission, but that doesn't necessarily mean the street art's good either. So what Banksy does, which, whether you like it or not, most people would class it as art, that is graffiti, because he never gets permission. So what he's doing is illegal.
That's interesting. So if he doesn't get permission, that's graffiti.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Everyone
says I knew I'd learn in this interview. So Banksy is basically, he's called an artist, but it really
he's
is.
He's a graffiti artist, yeah. But then it's interesting, because most people, if you say name a street artist, they'll say Banksy. So you can see, I'm just stating technicalities.
But this is what we want to find out. Yeah.
So most people, I think, would think of street art as something that is beautiful, that they like, whereas they'll think of graffiti as something that's scruffy, that makes an area look bad. But technically, I mean, the latest Banksy one, where he's just...
The tree.
Yeah. Most people would... Only because it's a Banksy, and I'm not having a go at him. I think it was a clever idea. But you could see that if it wasn't Banksy, people would think it was someone just vandalised the wall.
And in fact, somebody has vandalised it. So behind the tree is green, and somebody's put white on.
Yeah, some of these, since been back, haven't they? Which I always think's a bit...
Sad. It's sad.
It is. It's like, it's... That must be out of spite and jealousy. It's... Why would you do that?
Tell me, how does your family and friends, when it started building, were they really secretly, wow, this is our mate?
I don't know, because it's... The Wings was an overnight success. But that was the Wings, that wasn't me. Do you know what I mean? It didn't feel like...
No, but you created it.
Yeah.
You put it there. It was your idea. And it's beautifully done. And it's the right size. And it's great for photos. Don't bring yourself down on that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It seemed like that was the focus, which it was. For me, in terms of, like, getting my work recognised, so we had that initial boost. And then it's gradually. And I think, you know, I've worked hard to sort of improve the quality of my work, so that, you know, if people want to commission me, then they can trust what I'm doing. I don't know how they feel, because even for a long time, for about 12 months after doing the wings, I still wasn't sure that this was what I was going to do. I had one foot in two camps, and I always remind my mum of it, because she said, like, when are you going to stop messing about with this art stuff and get back to your normal job?
To a real job. Yeah. Been there, done it with me, mum.
Yeah, a bit like Aunt Mimi with John. But yeah,
is she proud of your work? Does she go
she
look
is
at
now
it?
Yeah. So I do the odd walking tour, but she's like my main competitor, because she takes all her mates around and does the unofficial one.
That's incredible. Have you ever turned a piece down that you went, no?
Yeah, a lot.
And what would you turn it, without specifically picking one, what would you turn it down for?
A number of reasons. So it could be things like, now I don't really do homes anymore. I used to, but not wrong with doing it at all.
Homes as in the side of a house?
No, like kids' bedrooms.
Oh,
like that.
Right.
Which, if anyone's getting into this, I say, you take those jobs, because it's practice. But then there's things that I think the reason they're getting the mural might not be a nice reason. Do you know what I mean? It might be something that's like, how can I put it, overtly nationalistic.
I understand. We'll leave that to the imagination of the listeners to this podcast. If you're listening, IMP Price, this is Paul Curtis, and he is the man with the wings, but also a huge catalogue of amazing stuff. What's your most proudest piece for getting the wings?
Yeah, it's a good way you've put the question, because people often ask what's your favourite. But in terms of what's my proudest, then I would say the lizard one, because of the reasons you said, just to undertake that and complete it on my own against all kinds of different battles. I mean, as I said to people, like, if that was like a building job, you may have had like a project manager working with you, because there was, it's keeping on.
How long did it take?
So it took, I think it took just over a month. But in reality, it took 6 weeks, because they kept delaying it. And I had other contracts, so I had to leave that job. One of the jobs I had to do was, there's a mural of Anne Williams in Anfield.
Yeah.
So that was already booked in. So because they delayed the job so long, I was like, I'm going to have to leave this job halfway through. So there was managing that as well. And there was that, and there was another one which I can't recall. But yeah, it was a real relief when it was done.
Let me ask you a question, not inquiring how much, but how do you cost something like that up? So I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have a look at it, just put it in to social media and have a look, because you will really be shocked at the size of it. How do you price something like that up?
Yeah, well, in terms of pricing, there's a lot of things that goes into it. Many people think it's just about the size. Now, size matters, but it's not the be-all and end-all. So one of the bigger factors on cost is actually the level of detail. So, for example, that there was two lizards. But if I was doing a smaller mural and they asked for, well, can we have two lizards? Can we have turtles? Can we have frogs? So the more elements you're adding,
brings the cost up.
So that's how I look at it. I'm like, you know, if you wanted one of the Beatles on the side of your house, it's going to cost you a lot less than four of the Beatles, you know.
Right. Now, going to the council, getting it sorted, were there lots of discussions what you were going to put up? What did they want initially? And then how did it become a lizard?
Yeah, there was. So if people know Ainsdale Beach, they might know that building, it's been derelict for like 30, 40 years. But it's loaned locally as Toad Hall. And that's, I think it's a reference to the dunes there have a lot of natterjack toads in. So the obvious choice was to do a toad. And people still say, why didn't you do a toad? And it's like, we looked at it. There's a few problems. The shape of the building didn't lend itself to the toad. The toad doesn't really do much except make the noise. It just sort of slobs around a bit. It's also a sort of muddy brown colour. I'm like, it's not going to make for a beautiful mural. So we looked at other options, and one of the councillors mentioned that, you know, they have the sand lizards there, which are kind of, I think it's only two places in Britain where you find that particular lizard. And I said, well, we can do that, because the lizard's shape was long and the building was wide.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's perfect, it matches. So that's what we chose. And given the environment of the building, I said, like, do you want to do something a bit edgy? Do you want to sort of push the boundaries? And and I understand why the council were a bit nervy about that. They didn't want to go too sort of funky for a couple of reasons. Basically, you've got to take into account what kind of population lives nearby, and also the setting of the building. So the building is right on the beach, basically. So I think it was the right decision. So we went with the lizard in its natural environment. So it's, you know, you see the sea in the background, it's on sand, you've got the dune grasses. And
it was Toad Hall, where I used to work a long time ago when you were a little boy.
When it was a nightclub.
When it was a nightclub, yeah, I worked there many times. So that's it. Now, tell me, as somebody who is a street artist, and do you like being called street artist, or is there a special name? Because, you know, like, soaps are not soaps anymore, they're ongoing dramas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, so is street artist all right to call you that?
Yeah, street artist. Fine.
Right. How do you take criticism? Because the public, it's not like going to an art gallery where you'll see lots of criticism. How do you feel about criticism?
Truthfully. No, it depends on the criticism. So I understand that any art form, you're going to have people who don't like it. You're naive if you think that everyone's going to like 100% what you're doing. And that's fine. Everyone has tastes. There might be a song that I think is the greatest song in the world, but you couldn't stand it. That's fine. Generally, most of the people like my work. I don't do anything that's, you know, too Marmite, if that's the right way of putting it. I don't go down the political route, so I don't do anything that's too divisive. So I don't mind if people don't like what I do. That's fine, as long as it's fair criticism, or it's just, this is my opinion. If it's personal, that's a different matter, which I've had a couple of times. But I get blamed for all kinds of things, so
give me an example.
So keep going back to the lizard one, but like, we got an arts grant for that, and so that had to be spent on art, and if it wasn't spent in Ainsdale, some other part of the country gets it. So, but then I get people having a go saying, like, this should have been used to repair potholes, and it's like, it's not my choice. Why didn't you use the money to convert it into luxury flats? And I was like, well, it was an arts grant, and I don't think you realise.
People can't. I don't think you realise.
Yeah, the difference in costs between convenience.
Yeah.
So, some of that, when it's levelled at me, it's like, well, that's unfair. Or, like, I did one of Kenny Dalglish on one of the bars in Anfield, and somebody was like, "You should have chose a better wall." And I was like, "But it was the bar owner that paid me. I'm not going to paint it in another bar." So it's stuff like that. You just have to sort of, like, I try not to get, I try not to bite.
It's difficult. It's difficult because we're in the same sort of industry. They don't like you. The footballers, I mean, how many have you done?
Oh, I don't know.
Lost count.
Well, I've done Liverpool, Everton, Tranmere, Bradford, Ipswich. So I've done a few clubs now. So in terms of, funnily enough, the exhibition we had, the Liver building obviously has links to Everton FC in terms of its ownership. So we took the decision not to show football material.
Great idea.
Which I agreed with. I thought it was the right idea. So I was like, well, that leaves the door open for a future exhibition that is football based. So I reckon there must be like 20 or 30 football ones I've done. Football-related ones. They're not necessarily all footballers. So I mentioned Ann Williams. I did one. The last football one I did was on the Sandon in Anfield, but it was John Holden, who people might know or might not know. He was the founder of Liverpool FC. Used to be the mayor of Liverpool as well. So I quite like doing that sort of thing because, as well as doing the football players, which is great, they do get a lot of sort of glorification already. So I quite like doing a mural that teaches a little bit about the history of the clubs and things like that.
It's interesting. I look at your piece of art all the time, whether I like it or not, because I go to the Italian restaurant by Tranmere Rovers, which is right across the way from the actual... They're not shoes, one. They're... Trainers. And the Palios is a mate of mine. So Mark and Nicholas. Nicola. Called you Nicola. What is the logic behind that piece, for instance?
Well, that one, so that's it's the Tranmere Rovers Trust, which is like a fans group that sort of get behind all the Tranmere ones. And sadly, the guy behind it, Ben Harrison, he passed away a year ago. But he, a loyal fan, and he basically wanted to do this sort of like, I don't know what they call it, the mile circular around the ground to try and encourage kids to basically take Tranmere as the club rather than Liverpool Everton. So that was the idea of the series of Tranmere murals. But that one in particular with the trainers, it's from a movie written by Kev Sampson, and it follows a group of Tranmere supporters. It was turned into a film with Steve Graham was in it, and it follows a group of Tranmere supporters in the late 70s, I think, or early 80s. And that particular image was a photo taken by a Liverpool photographer, John O'Johnson, and that was used as the poster to advertise the movie. So from my point of view, there's no design involved in that. They just said to me, and it was perfect for the wall because it's a long picture and it's a low wall. So they just said, can you do that? And I was like, yeah, because I don't have to design. We can go tomorrow.
Yeah.
And what was great about that, because it was a modern image, like taken in the last sort of 20 years, and it was taken by a photographer, I could have the high-res images, which makes a massive difference, because if you're blowing up something that's an inch into a metre, if you're looking close at the photo and it's a poor image, that's very difficult. So that one came out really well. I get a lot of positive feedback about that.
So you use a picture of the, so you'll have a picture of the trainers, a picture of the lizard.
So for the trainers one, I had to do no design work. Right.
So you just copied, put onto a wall, in a huge wall.
Yeah, and we had to get permission from that particular photographer, but he was more than happy to see his work done in large scale. With the lizard one, I designed the lizard one. Right. So obviously,
but do you put it on paper?
Yeah,
and then show the council and say, this is what I want to do. So start with a drawing.
Yeah, although mostly now, it's rare I do a drawing. I do in particular cases, but it's more like Photoshop now because I'm going to use a reference image. I don't have a bank of images of lizards in my head or whatever it might be. So I just say, like, look, I'm going to use this. I'll use a couple of reference images, but what I'm doing is changing the background, putting different things in so that it works with that building. So there's different levels of design involved, right, depending on the mural.
Paul, do you have a favourite street artist?
So I'm not sure of a favourite. So in the street art community, it's like, I follow a lot of forums. You see different pieces by different artists, and it's like, not many people admit this, but it's true. It's like, you know, if you take the Beatles, they didn't suddenly come up with songs. You're pinching little bits off different musicians, putting them together in a different way. It's like anything. If you're an inventor, that's what you're doing. You're looking like, what can I use to make something better? So I follow a lot of the street art forums, and yeah, it's great for coming up with new ideas. There's a girl in Poland, Natalia Rak, who, if you look her up, you can see the similarities in our work. But she uses a lot of colour. I try to use a lot of colour because I think you should try and brighten things up a little bit, because often you're painting on a drab wall. But she's quite clever on how she works with the environment. So one of her most famous pieces is, it's on the side of a building. Banksy might have stole the idea somewhat, but there's a tree growing in front of the building, and she's just done like a little girl with a watering can. So it looks like the girl's watering the tree, and it's like that kind of thing. It's like the way she's worked with the environment, that's clever.
It's interesting. What do you think of Banksy, truthfully?
I think I quite like his work. Technically, it's not the most advanced, but then I don't think he'd have problems with people saying that. He knows that himself. But where he excels is his idea, his social commentary, which he has a clever way of doing it. So I think that's good, what he does. I see he gets a lot of criticism online now, and it's like, well, that's because he's popular, basically.
And that's what happens when you become popular, that happens. Have you ever met him?
Honestly, no. And even if I had, I'd probably be told I have to say no. But no, I never have. So, yeah, there's different rumours about who it is, but
It's an interesting story. It also brings street life to credibility and gives it, you know, a genre that people can talk about. To finish off, Paul, because I could talk to you forever, I find you a fascinating man. You've been in industry. You've worked in the industry world. You then came in. Your sister has wiped your first piece off. Bambi has gone forever. Where do you see your career going?
It's a difficult one to plan. So I'm loving it at the moment because it's a type of career which snowballs a little bit. So it's more than snowball, I would say it's gradually growing. So things like the exhibition are like real milestones for me. And I would love to do more work nationally because I don't think it's a crime to say that. I mean, I love working in Liverpool. But I think if we have talents within Liverpool, the rest of the country has to see them because it promotes the city in a positive light.
That's how music works. That's how everything works. That comedians work, actors work. Why shouldn't it work for art?
Exactly. So I would love to do more nationally. Longer term, I don't know. I know I can't paint murals forever because it's quite physically demanding. So I don't know. Do I move into the studio? I'm not sure. The good thing is, the more I do it, the more options I see opening for me. So I used to really worry about, what if the street art bubble bursts? But I'm like, okay, well, there is other things I can do. I can go into teaching if I need to, whatever. So at the moment, there's plans I have, like I'm in the middle of writing a book about, because every mural has a story. Mm-hmm. So there's little projects, like side projects like that. But the truth is, I'm enjoying what I call my core, which is like painting murals.
I've got to ask, are you frightened of heights?
No. I think I had a slight fear of them when I started, but you very quickly get over it. So even on the first day, there's one in town I did, the baby swimming underwater. That's about 12 metres up. So at the start of a job, you go up to the top. And it's always on the first day, you look down and go, ooh. But by lunchtime, you just kind of get on with it, yeah.
Paul, you're a remarkable man. You've brought a lot of beauty and happiness to a lot of people in Liverpool. There's also the critics who do not like street art at all. To finish off, what advice would you give to somebody out there that would absolutely do anything to be you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have my negatives as well and my positives.
Oh, yeah. But we're talking about your art.
I would say, you've got to work hard. It's like anything. It's the most important thing. I wasn't the best in my school at art. When I started doing street art, I look back on it and think some of the pieces aren't that great. But I worked hard. And I took, like I was saying then, you do bedroom murals. I was doing sign painting in pubs and things like that. Anything to sort of, yes, to bring income, but also just keep painting. But the other thing by doing that was, by doing sign painting in pubs, for example, you meet the owner. The owner owns several bars and goes, and then that leads to more work. So you've got to keep producing. And also understand that you're going to get knockbacks like anything else. Actors, musicians, they all have knockbacks. Even if the greatest in the world have had knockbacks. And you do get a little bit bitter when you get that knockback. But, you know, you've got to quickly learn to turn that into like, okay, I'll show them kind of attitude. Work even harder on your next piece. And that's what's worked for me, I think, yeah.
Paul, thank you so much for talking to me, and thank you for the joy you brought to people from Liverpool and the tourists.
That's very kind, but thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. Why not subscribe? You know it's free. So join us and tell your friends. It's great going on walks and doing whatever you want to do and then putting Pete Price on. We've got a back catalogue of over 100 interviews. Join us. Subscribe. It's free.